Alan Kring Productions presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 3 for Spring Semester 2019. Lecture 13, delivered on March 4, 2019. The title of this lecture is Review for the Midterm Exam.
Today, review for the midterm exam. There will be 32 questions, multiple choice and matching, a couple of true and false in there as well. You have the 75 minutes to take it. Now, as far as the structure of the exam goes, bear with me one moment here. Well, I could put the exam on the overhead for you to see. No, I won't do that. Just checking. Okay. Approximately 8 are math. You need to bring your calculator with you for that. They will be the ones we've done in class. Now, everything on the exam is what I have said in lecture. It might be in the book, too, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. This is based on lectures, not on the book content. That's testing you to make sure that you're in these lectures, listening, and taking really solid notes. As I said, I've come through about 87 terms so far, I think 87 terms in the first half of this course. So you count up how many definitions and terms and words that you find in your notes and compare it to 87 and see if you've got that many. Nope. Not even close. Typically, you'll have about 20 to 25. So you've missed some, but some of them will jog your memory. And of course, the podcasts are available for you to listen to at isu-prof.com. So you can enjoy that. There will be several questions, three or four from quizzes, from the in-class quizzes, just copied and pasted them. And those keys to those quizzes are online, so it might be worth your while to have a look at those. And more broadly, just to keep it up on the high side to start with. Oh, and there are 5 matching, as well as 27 that are multiple choice. The 5 matching are pretty easy. You'll be able to hit those really easy. That way, you will not go home empty-handed. You'll get above a 0 on the exam. And I assure you that it takes your time. Don't rush it so you can have a quickie class and get on your way to your spring break. Guarantee you that's a prescription for a disaster on this exam. Let me go through a few things I think you should know. Okay, and then it's up to you to ask me questions. If you want this to be a TV show where I tell you everything, it ain't going to happen. You need to ask me. If something's not on the exam, if you ask me something and it's not on the exam, I'll say I'm not asking that on the exam. So it's worth your while to try to shape. No, I won't tell you what is on the exam exactly, but I'll be drawing some broad brush strokes here. Things you need to know. The different kinds of money. That would be a good idea for you to know that. You need to understand the ratios. You need to understand them. I actually don't have any in here where you, well, only obliquely will you have to calculate ratios. For the most part, you need to understand what they are saying to you, what the numbers should look like. What's the relationship between two numbers? Like, what would be the relationship between the current ratio and the acid test? Which one's bigger? Which one's smaller? That kind of relationship understanding. Oh, by the way, you do get a 4-inch by 6-inch note card for the exam. That's hallelujah. You probably won't do much using of it. It's more, I do that because that's a great way to focus your studying down. Front and back, of course. I'm not going to go around and make sure you just got the front written on. So, anyway. You need to understand the different sources of funds for a company. Where does a company get its money? Where does a corporation get its money? And I listed that on the board. Almost everything has been written down or spoken in class. Understand the risk structure of interest rates, obviously, and the risk-free rate. You need to understand that, what the pieces are, what the pieces mean. You need to know the forms that the SEC requires the public corporations file. What they are, what they have in them, what makes each one important. Now you'll remember that I talked about 10-Ks, 10-Qs, 8-Ks, 13-Gs, and other forms. The AR is in there too somewhere. Don't know why anyone reads that thing, but... Oh, a mother's work is never done. Know the different types of business organizations. You should. And what that has to do with where risk is assigned. I anticipate that you will know the different acts of Congress that I have talked about in class. I made specific mention of 5 acts of Congress that have to do with securities law and banking, which reminds me, you need to know the different kinds of banks. Now, I am going to put up I'm going to have a screen capture, a capture of a screen, just like the ones I've shown you. It will be for a specific stock, and then I will ask you some questions. Can you now read a screen, a stock screen? Can you meaningfully interpret numbers on that screen? It'll be a few days old, of course. By the way, just as an FYI, while I'm thinking about it, let me get my marker, if I can find. Here we go. Let me show you something real quick. Do you remember I talked about short selling? Do you remember that I talked about how short selling works last week? Do you remember the stock that I did for my example of short selling? What was it? Tesla. Now, you remember that I created a short at market, 312, I think it was 312.50. And my short was put at 305 for the cover on it. Spank me. It cost my cover in a day. I could have actually, if in real world, if I had done this for myself, I would have pulled that cover down as fast as I could as soon as I saw that it was going to have a major correction. But even at that, my short worked. I would have made maybe around $1,000 on it. So that gives you an idea. Shorts do work. I mean, if I had dropped that short as fast as I would have wanted to, I would have put the short down at 295, possibly 292, and I would have made even more on this short. So shorts can make you as much money as long positions will. A short sale on Tesla was almost too easy as a bet. And also notice, Tesla's beta is wrong. So don't trust the betas on Yahoo Finance. But anyway, that's just something to let you know that there is profit to be made in being a sourpuss like I am about stocks. Anyway, I'm going to put up I'll print a screen. It'll look just like the ones that you've seen. I'll show you the back of it. Quick up and down. And then I'll ask you a few questions about what you're seeing on there. Okay. Gotta fix some. Yeah, there is one where you do calculate something about cash flow, free cash flow. I'm not going to have you do a whole free cash flow. That can just chew up time, and I had other things to ask you, but I might have you calculate a component of free cash flow or give you numbers so you can do the whole free cash flow, something like that. So that'd be one of the math questions. Another math question, I spent endless time in examples, finding payments on loans, finding future values, present values, all of that kind of stuff. Just go back through your notes, make sure you can do it like a boss, and you should have no problem whatsoever on those kinds of questions. Obviously, there were other math things that I had you find, like effective yield and such matters as that. I have you probably find the yield on a one-year treasury. Know about present value and net present value. I'm going to have to take that one out. Okay, also understand what I mean by euro dollars. What is meant by a euro dollar? What is meant, what happens in foreign exchange? How do foreign federal reserves accumulate American dollars? How do they spend those dollars? Where can they spend them? Anywhere in the world? You have to be able to show me that you understand those kinds of concepts. And again, just returning, ratios, as far as ratios are concerned, you're not going to have to calculate a lot of ratios. Maybe one or two you'd have to do, possibly. But also keep in mind that the screens themselves offered you several opportunities to see ratios in action. And also ratio analytics, like market cap, earnings per share, price earnings ratio. Make sure also, as far as screens go, you know the difference between settle, bid, and ask. Know what stock symbols mean, what a stock symbol itself tells you. I'm done. Now it's your turn to ask me questions. Yeah. Oh, very good. You're good. You're good. He's good. I had to say, You ever been asleep in a jet and they drop 10,000 feet in 5 seconds, you wake up and, you know, you see your dead relatives and your liver is somewhere up in here. Anyway, I'm not going to bother you. That formula sheet's got all the ones that would be important to you, but I'm interested in asset activity, profitability, and liquidity. And that should, you can go right to the formulas, that formula sheet, and see the breakdown. I wouldn't ask you a DuPont at all. Go ahead.
Knowing what the stock symbol itself tells you, do you mean by that associating with NYSE?
Associating the market on which it is traded. That would be the most important thing from it.
What do you mean by that? Can you be a little bit more specific?
Let me be specific with you. CL. CL, where does it trade? Oh, sure. Anyone want to take a stab? CL? Why? Good. AMZN. Come on. Good. Why? No. Four. AMZN. I don't demand a lot, but I demand to count on this first exam. LB. Which is, by the way, an interesting play right now. Is it a short or is it a long? Is it a short sell or is it a long? LB is what? BNYSC. How about K? Kellogg. What would that be? Come on. K. Yeah, NYSE. Now, I'm not going to pull a fast one. There's sometimes you'll get an Amex, but that's something that you should also know is know the difference between an exchange and an index. And also the difference between a floor exchange and a non-floor exchange. Let me try this. Can you tell me S&P 500, is that an exchange, an index, or both?
Index.
Say it?
Index.
Absolutely, it's only an index. NASD, AQ, NASDAQ Automated Quotations. Is that an exchange or is that an index or both?
Mm-hmm.
It is both, yeah. It's one of those indexes we see up there, but it's also the exchange itself. This is a non-physical exchange. There's no physical place. It's all electronic and always has been. It's a bulletin board service, OTC. So just make sure that you can tell a little bit about what you're looking at. So, for example, you see sometimes I'll close it off, but you see the Wilshire 2000. That's an index. It's not an exchange. It's just something someone put together so that you could track stocks. Now, some of these indexes are at weighted. In other words, the bigger the company, the more influential it is on the index. Some are not, which makes for an interesting difference in how you look at them. Other questions? Yeah. Okay, let's start. I'll ask you, tell me one. The what? Sarbanes-Oxley. SOX, good. What else would be in? Yeah. Glass-Steagall. What did that govern? What was Glass-Steagall aiming at in finance? No. Give me the type of institution. Yes, financial institutions. That was what it was aiming at, is controlling their excesses, putting them under a fist so that they couldn't do their nonsense they'd been doing for centuries before and all of that kind of stuff. can you tell me what act of Congress governs primary sales of securities? I'll give you a hint, 1933. Can you tell me? Say it. Well, it's not the SEC. You wouldn't say SEC. That's the regulatory body. But it is the Securities Exchange Act. Securities Exchange Act. And it was authorized by the, it authorized the SEC, the regulatory body. What act of Congress governs secondary sales? Come on, what governs secondary sales? Actually, I shouldn't push you on that. You've got to study. Make sure you know. I'm going to leave it at that. You need to know what act of Congress controls the primary sales, what act of Congress controls secondary sales. Now, if I say that a stock is restricted, that means what? What rule is in play? What rule applies to this stock? What rule attaches to that stock? If it is restricted stock, that means that it is restricted under rule, and I'll let you figure that out for yourselves. I just handed you a question. All you have to do is figure out what it is. Also, make sure you know the difference between primary and secondary. Know also, in a very different light, make sure you know the difference between money and capital. They actually, we use money and capital kind of interchangeably too often. Technically, they are exactly opposites. Oh, and that's one other thing. Make sure you know, as far as borrowing and lending goes, make sure you know who is the seller of debt and who is the buyer. Put another way, who is the issuer and who is the investor? Make sure you know that, because there's one that can confuse the whoopee-doo out of you unless you have those definitions right in your mind. In that same vein, make sure you know the difference between a bill, a note, and a bond. Yeah, go ahead. A bond. James Bond. I'm sort of like James Bond, yeah. Except he has good looks. He's very skilled with weapons. And I almost killed so many people, you know, friends of mine in the service. You know, on the bright side, they got behind me. You know, on the bad side, that meant I was the first target. So, you know, that part, there's that. It's kind of sucked. But anyway, whoa, go. Oh, no, you don't. Come on, okay. Now, you gave me Sarbanes-Oxley. I gave you the Securities Exchange Act, the Securities Act of 19, and then there was that other one, and then Glass-Steagall. And then there was one that I briefly mentioned. I probably won't bring that up, but I did briefly mention a fifth one that was sort of this stupid attempt after 2008 to get the markets under control, but I just barely mentioned it. I probably won't bring that up on the test. Even Sarbanes-Oxley was more of a joke in some ways than it was real reform. yeah, it scared the hell out of presidents of companies and other board directors and the executives. But at the same time, it also just created an industry for accountants and lawyers. Sox did. It was so much show, and the nonsense just goes on and on still to this day, much worse than in 2008 as far as derivatives are concerned. The toxic derivatives that were generated by 2008, at that time, about $64 trillion. Notional value of the derivatives out there right now, I just told my derivatives class this a couple of weeks ago, is $717 trillion. So if it goes south this time, that is literally an order of magnitude in disaster above what happened in 2008. And you will notice it if that thing goes bad this time. $717 trillion in notional value. Anyway, it's your problem, not mine. You have to find jobs in that kind of an apocalypse. What else? Ask me questions. Yeah.
Opportunity cost?
Could be, Wabbit. Okay, opportunity cost, this whole idea. Why do I make such a big fuss about distinguishing accounting from finance? That whole ball of wax. Yeah. And what else does accounting go? Be more specific about reliable. They are, what are they? They are, starts with an H.
Historical
numbers. Finance doesn't care about history. What you did for me yesterday means nothing to me today. You are dead to me. Unless you give me something today. A present, you know, a bottle of Chivas Regal. Cheeseburger, Red Robin. See, it doesn't matter what happened yesterday. That's already in there, already locked into the price. And another thing about those numbers that we use in accounting is that it's not just opportunity cost that they miss. They miss this whole world of nuanced knowledge about the future. Now, remember that I brought up briefly the difference in types of efficiency of markets, weak form, semi-strong form, strong form. And I want to make sure that you are capable of knowing how our markets lay out. How does information come into stock prices? Only through public knowledge, only through market information, or through a broader public information vectors, or is there private information insiders play in the market too? What else do you have for me? Any other questions? Yes. It could be important in an oblique way, as far as what happens when interest rates do different things. In other words, when interest rates go up, is that good or is that bad? The truth is that it's both good and bad. Madam, when interest rates go up, why is that a bad thing? No. Well, that could be in there. When interest rates go up, remember I showed you on the board how that cuts off low ROI investments, which means the company's business activity goes down, which means that unemployment goes up, both the physical capital and human capital. That's bad news. But there's a good news. Why are rising interest rates good news? Madam, why? Which would you rather do, invest at 4% or invest at 7%?
Seven.
Yes, 7. So as interest rates rise, sources of capital are, oh, goody, hop, happy days. Users of capital are saying, boo, hiss. Okay, So it's a mixed bag what happens. Yes, interest rates have been so low. I mean, I walked into this credit union and they were offering for a one-year CD 0.10%. That's 0.10%. Oh, goody, I'll be able to buy a can of cat food for my cats on this. In other words, I put $1,000 in, and in 1 year, I get $1. That's really wonderful. So you see, low interest rates are wonderful if you borrow money for a home, for a car, for anything like that, but they are just absolutely, they prevent capital from being put into markets. Anything else? Yeah.
What are the different types of banks that we have now?
Where do you go to bank? What do you do use for a bank?
Go to Chase.
Oh, la-dee-da, Chase. Big mega bank. Okay, what kind of a bank is that? Very good. But there are other types. I talked about going to another type. My club is going to go to another type. But it isn't a commercial bank. You're not. Yeah, go ahead.
Would it be commercial or retail? Is that the same thing?
I'm not going to make a big distinction between them. Just because they both do basically the kind of the same thing. But there are banks that aren't even called banks, but most people think they're banks. They treat them as banks. They use them as banks. What are those things? What?
Credit
unions. I mean, for all intents and purposes, the problem, though, is that credit unions, there's a little problem. No one ever sees it. I mean, it would be an unusual circumstance for you to see it, but that's why credit unions are not counted in M1 money. They're in M2 because credit unions don't have demand deposit checking accounts. They look like demand deposit checking accounts. They look like what the same thing as banks offer, but they are not the same thing. They are not demand deposit accounts. They are something else. Three letters. Do you remember what those three, what that they are? No, but if you hum a few bars, go. What does that stand for? you're not going to get off. This isn't LOL. This is laughing out loud, okay? What does NOW stand for? It's okay. I'm pinning you to the wall right now. This is something to study, okay? Something that you should study. Huh? Oh, NOW. Now. Oh, you went and ruined it for everybody. No, you don't. Way to go. I remember it's been about 3 or 4 years ago. I was actually, the computer had failed in the classroom, so I was actually reading the questions of a quiz to the class. And I got to the last one, there were 5 of them, and this not sweet young man, nerd, he holds up his hand, and I say, yeah, and he just read me the answers. You ho-handle. No, don't. Oh, well. Then, of course, there was a time I actually had the projector going, and the exam was up there while I was reviewing for it. Boy, people were writing so fast. I was just like, and I mean, I was clueless, and then after a while, wait a minute. Oh, my God. I had 2 pages of the 3-page exam side by laid out there. Like I say, hire us elderly. We're fun to watch. Okay, anything else you got? I mean, if you can't do very well just on what we've done right here, I mean, you should, well, Heartland's got that trucking school, but they can get kind of complicated on those backing. How do they do that with a beep, 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 beep? Ah! Oh, sorry back there. Anyway, what else?
Can you repeat what you said the W stands for now?
I didn't say it. No, I did not say it. That was a good try, though. It should be in your notes anyway.
Liquidity?
Oh, yeah, you'll definitely need to understand liquidity. Now, I brought up liquidity in a couple of different ways. Obviously, I don't know, they might not have told you this in accounting. If you notice a balance sheet's assets, they are listed from the most liquid down to the least liquid. The assets are. And also, I had brought up liquidity with respect to M1, M2, and M3. I brought up liquidity with respect to the types of money. I brought up liquidity in a couple of other contexts, especially with respect to the relationship between liquidity and how much you earn. An asset with high liquidity earns a different yield, expected yield, than an asset with low liquidity. It's a trade-off. There's a good side to liquidity, and there's a bad side to liquidity. Anything else you got? I've basically handed you, I mean, they call me the candy man. I hand out candy, and today I had a very big bag of candy for you. Yeah.
Do we have to know anything about, like, the inverted yield curve?
I was going to, and that was one of the questions I cut out of it. We'll be spending a lot more time looking at the yield curve, looking at what the tea leaves can tell you behind the yield curve. I'll even teach you a little bit about forward rates by the end of the class. So, yeah, I've got plenty of time for that. Go. About what they do, about what how they're organized, just the broad outline. What do they do that other types of banks cannot do? Yeah, you had one. I thought I saw another hand here.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What components of the stock screen, like the numbers, what do you
mean by that? I'm not going to do that. What I want you to do. You notice that I began the semester just looking at the stock price. If you watch your note, you'll notice that as the semester has gone on, I've started to move away from the first thing, look at the price. Do you remember what the second thing was that I looked at? And I haven't even defined it. That's in the second half of the course. Do you remember the second thing that I looked at? Well, what was the metric that? No. Well, that was part of it, but there was one before that.
Beta?
Yes. I brought you right in to look at beta, and then I pulled around. I showed you the difference between bid and ask. Obviously, that's important. What also was very early on that I wanted you to pay attention to?
Did the company
have
dividends?
No, before that. Yeah? No, well, it was the on-balance volume, the day's volume versus the 52-week average. I brought that up next. And then I also looked at the high and the low and where the current price was relative to the 52-week high and low. Are we near the bottom? Are we near the top? What can that tell you? I also, of course, did look at beta and P-E ratio both as metrics. And then the dividend yield was part of looking at the overall gain that you made on a stock. And I showed you how to do that, how to calculate, based on a projection, what is the 52-week price from here, how do you calculate the capital gain, and then look for the dividend yield, add those together, and you get the total yield on a stock. That was one of the things that I showed you. But that was a little later. The early screens were also, there was another one that was, I defined, I used as my first real numerical example of the extraordinary difference between accounting and finance. Do you remember what that was? the number on that screen that I used, and then I pulled up the accounting financial statements, and I said, look at these two numbers. They are not the same at all. They're ridiculously different. Yes. Will you shut up? Get off. Okay. Those were some of the things that I did. Anything else you have? See you on Wednesday.